Welcome to My Shamanic Life, at the intersection of yoga, shamanic reiki, and wildlife conservation. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share the practices that keep me grounded, connected, and real as a yoga teacher, a shamanic reiki practitioner and teacher, a wildlife rehabilitator and advocate, and a mentor for yoga teachers who are ready to share their unique gifts with the world as inspirational leaders and change makers. My life, like this podcast, is totally imperfect and extraordinary. You'll find the past episodes on myshamaniclife.com, as well as a link to Patreon. By sponsoring this podcast on Patreon, you are supporting the rescue, rehabilitation, and release of injured wild turtles by helping me purchase needed equipment. Visit dancingturtlewildlife.com to learn more about wildlife rehabilitation and my turtle bus. I'll be offering a meditation in a bit, and you're welcome to join me. For now, wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Be aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Anchored in, nourished, nurtured, you are here. The time is now. I'm working again with Kim Cron's The Wild Unknown Animal Spirit card deck. And the card that I pulled today is the Hummingbird card. The message or energy is being positive, enthusiastic, and spiritually resourceful. She says, the hummingbird's secret is that they have learned where to gather nectar, and they return to these sources daily for nourishment and rejuvenation. This sacred elixir springs from many sources, but usually involves nature, creativity, and exploring spirituality. That fits very nicely with what I am here to talk about today, because I have been quietly watching the wildfires in the Amazon and Hurricane Dorian hitting the Bahamas and what's going on in the United States. And in the coverage of these events, there has been quite a bit of emphasis on the human toll, the rights of indigenous people, the really extreme injustice of the wealth inequality, and how those who are not the privileged few who could easily get on an airplane and leave are suffering or have perished. And I feel for the human toll, but my heart really hurts for the wildlife in these places, the wildlife in Brazil, for the wildlife in the Bahamas, for the wildlife in the United States. And I wanted to use this opportunity to bring you into an awareness of how these fires, this hurricane, changes in rules in the United States, and climate change in general are really affecting the wildlife. And I find it a frustrating topic because I feel very powerless having this knowledge and not really being able to do anything about it. So today in this episode, I'm going to share some of what I've learned, and also lead a meditation that has been helping me reconnect into the power that is inherent in the web of life, and how we can then direct and share that power in support of the wild things everywhere. And also to give me an opportunity to share with you my grief that some of the beautiful biodiversity creatures that we share this planet with may be perishing and may disappear from this planet for good. So I want to start in the rainforest, the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, where there are wildfires that are thankfully getting smaller thanks to some rain, but are still raging pretty well. And I hesitate to call them wildfires because these fires are not wild. These fires were set to clear land. The thing about the wildfires in the Amazon that make them different from wildfires in other places is that because it's a rainforest, they don't typically have fires. And any fires that do start for whatever reason are usually small because the rain will put them out quickly. And because of that, none of the wildlife, flora or fauna, are adapted to fire. There aren't any creatures in the Amazon rainforest that are adapted to take advantage of a post-wildfire ecosystem. Here in the United States, out in the West, where fires happen fairly regularly and they are an important part of the ecological processes, we have animals that take advantage of that. The Amazon doesn't. And the Amazon is also home to 10% of the Earth's animal species. There are over 1,300 types of birds in the Amazon. The biodiversity there is incredible because resources are available for them. So all this incredible biodiversity, but none of it adapted for fires. What does that mean? That means that in the short term, in the immediate, a lot of these animals are going to die from burns or from smoke inhalation. I was happy to read that the jaguars, which are near and dear to me, will probably be able to escape the fires because they're large and fast moving and can outrun the flames. Some of the birds will be able to fly off, but the smaller, slow-moving animals, like the sloths and the anteaters, are not going to be able to escape. There are lots of small frogs and lizards that are dependent on that damp environment to survive. They're not going to make it. And even the aquatic species that inhabit small streams are likely to perish because either those streams are going to dry up as the flames go over them, or the ash from the fire is going to chemically change the water and make it so that it can't support life. And in the long term, these fires are going to burn this canopy that's been protecting the ground from intense sunlight for many thousands of years. The forest floor exposed to the sunlight is going to change. The entire ecosystem is going to change. And all of this beautiful diversity of life that is not adapted to living in that kind of ecosystem is going to disappear. And only those animals that can survive in this new, drier ecosystem have a chance. It also opens up space for invasive species that are better adapted to move in, to outcompete the natives. These wildfires may be devastating in so many ways. And I was just kind of getting my head wrapped around the wildfires when Hurricane Dorian started heading for the east coast of the United States. And of course, that's what we were focused on in our local media. Was it going to hit Florida or Georgia? Skirted by Puerto Rico, thankfully, where they're still recovering from the last one. But it didn't skirt by the Bahamas. Instead, sat over a portion of the Bahamas for a couple of days. I looked at some of the pictures and videos that were coming out afterwards, and all I could think of was the islands being scrubbed, scoured. And then I wondered, in all the talk about the death toll, which is substantial, but not the wild creatures. And I wondered, what is there that's being affected by this storm? And I thought there must be any number of seabirds that were in the path and hopefully escaped. I did see some pictures of birds actually flying up into the eye of the storm, but what else? So I had to do some research because nobody's talking about it. We're still very focused on the human toll. The Bahamas are home to some very unique pine forests that, due to deforestation for human development, are already limited, shrinking. And in those pine forests, there are some unique species, particularly birds. And there are three birds in particular, three species of birds that may have disappeared. They were already so endangered, so limited in numbers, that the Hurricane Dorian may have completely wiped them out. So I just wanted to bring your attention to them. One is the Bahama parrot, also called the Abaco parrot, because the Abaco Island, which received that direct hit from the hurricane, was pretty much the only place it lived. Although I have read that there is a small population on Turks and Caicos. Fingers crossed for that small population. Beautiful parrot, almost gone simply from people capturing them for pets until they were protected. And now their very small numbers may no longer exist. There's also a Bahama oriole, which is a beautiful bird. Also enjoys that pine forest, and that pine forest is now underwater. There's a good chance that those trees will not survive. And finally, the Bahama nuthatch, which as of last count, there were less than 20. So these very unique species of birds could have disappeared just like that in a storm of incredible intensity, super high winds, amazing storm surge. This storm, this intensity, and the slow movingness all have to do with changes in ocean temperature and the air currents. So here we are in this climate change affected time when storms are getting more and more intense. They're getting bigger. They're moving more slowly. They're dumping more rain. They're bringing more wind. The storm surges are more incredible and scouring these places where the wildlife habitat has already been so shrunken by human activity. We talked about the Amazon. We talked about the Bahamas and the hurricane. I just want to touch on one more thing. I am watching with trepidation for reports from all of the folks monitoring the sea turtle nests along the Florida Atlantic coast, the Georgia Atlantic coast, into the Carolinas. One sea turtle rescue I know has already taken in over 100 sea turtle hatchlings that people have found struggling on the beaches after the hurricane came through. And even though that hurricane stayed offshore, you know, there's still a lot of that storm surge and wind. The surf is up crazy. So watching to see what the effects of the hurricane are going to have on the sea turtle population, which is also way down, threatened or endangered, depending on the species. And then in the United States, the current federal administration has been busy gutting the regulations of the Endangered Species Act. The Endangered Species Act protects those animals and plants that are threatened to point of near extinction and provides a means for us humans to lend a helping hand. And it's through the Endangered Species Act that species like bald eagle, the American alligator, the peregrine falcon, the grizzly bear, the gray wolf, the red wolf, the California condor, the humpback whale, and the Virginia flying squirrel, to name a few, have come back from near extinction. We provide, through this law, research and breeding and protected habitat so that these species had a chance to come back, and it worked. But now the regulatory part of this law is being gutted. And a lot of the regulations that protected the habitat, protected these animals from hunting, they're all being taken away. And our American biodiversity may rapidly disappear. The web of life, our food chain, is being decimated. And it frustrates me that so many of the human species do not understand that we are dependent on and a huge part of that web of life. And that as that biodiversity breaks down, that whole web breaks down, our ability to continue to survive is also breaking down. I want to talk about the monarch butterflies just for a moment, because I think it's a really good example of what can happen when people start paying attention and caring and realizing how important species like the monarch butterfly are. When I was growing up, there were monarchs everywhere, every summer. And it's been many, many years, decades maybe, since I've seen monarch butterflies in a great number, like I'm seeing now. This year, they have made a huge comeback here in the northeast part of the United States, where I live. But as they come out of their cocoons here, emerge into these beautiful butterflies, fly around, they have to now make this long migration to Mexico. Many of them won't survive being hit by cars, or they'll fly through places where pesticides have been sprayed. They'll hit areas that are affected by drought, so there's no nectar plants available for them and no water. They'll have to move across the American-Mexico border through a place where there was once a butterfly sanctuary that was protected for them, which has now been bulldozed because a wall wants to be built there. And even in Mexico, the forests where they overwinter are shrinking in size due to logging and development. So while I'm excited to see the butterflies, I'm also very cautiously optimistic about their chances of coming back in big numbers another year and another year, especially because some of what helped protect them were the environmental regulations that are going away. But I wanted to bring them up because I've been trying to find out why this year in particular, they came back in such record numbers. And I don't have good data, just stories. And the stories are of people who have said, I didn't mow any of my milkweed. I stopped a couple of years ago. I'm paying more attention to the wildflowers, the nectar flowers. I'm planting jopai weed. I'm letting the goldenrod bloom. And while it's not a native species around here, I'm planting butterfly bush. And my butterfly bush is covered in butterflies. And why did people do this? Why did people suddenly realize that providing habitat for monarch butterflies to lay their eggs, for the caterpillars to grow, for them to transform and fly off, why did that matter to people? And I'm sure that there are very many people who feel like I do, that we've recognized the importance of these pollinators in our ecosystem, and also because they were a beautiful part of our childhoods that we miss, that the transformation of the monarch butterfly from caterpillar through cocoon to adult butterfly has become very, very meaningful for us. Whether it's just through the observation and that little piece of awe that we've hung on to from when we were children, to just the beauty of the butterflies. And this is a wonderful thing, but I wonder how many equally important, but not quite as beautiful or metaphorically important species have disappeared because we couldn't find that connection, because they weren't pretty, because they didn't do this cool thing that could watch and be amazed at. My intention in bringing up the monarch butterflies was to open you up to considering what else is out there that needs you to support it, even though it's not pretty. Let's make lawns a thing of the past and let the wildflowers grow. So now that I've talked about the Amazon effects of the hurricane, what's happening with the Endangered Species Act in the United States, and what's happening with the monarch butterflies, I want to invite you to join me in a meditation, not too long, to feel into how you're responding to that information and to help you visualize or feel or sense how incredibly powerful it is to acknowledge your connection into the web of life. You can find a comfortable seat or lay down and close your eyes and take a deep breath in through your nose. Open your mouth and sigh it out. Take another deep, refreshing breath in and sigh it out. One more deep breath in, letting that cleansing energy come in. Release anything that's not serving you in this moment and let it go with that exhale. And relax your jaw and breathe with a comfortable, natural rhythm. Simply watching your breath for a moment. Consider all the oxygen that you're breathing in is energizing the muscles of your body, including the muscles that expand your lungs and the muscle of your heart. And the prana, the life force energy that you're breathing in, is feeding the muscle of your resilience. Feel how that breath gathers at the center of your being. Fueling your internal fire, the spark of your passion. See, sense, or feel that fire beginning to radiate out. Not destructive, but energizing. You might see that fire as white or golden light. You might sense its heat. Or you might just know it's there. Now begin to expand your awareness out into the area that's right around you. An area full of biodiversity, plants, animals, from the tiniest insects to the tallest trees. Without opening your eyes, picture or sense what the area right around where you are is like, who you're sharing this space with. There may be other humans. There may be pets. There may be a bat tucked into the eaves, or a spider hanging out by your porch light. Mice and chipmunks and squirrels, birds. Depending on where you are, maybe lots of different creatures. Maybe not so many. And the plants. Each one has its own internal fire, its own spark of life. Different in expression, but the same at its essence. And from your internal fire to the internal fires of all of the life around you, there are threads. In some way, each of these life forms is connected to you. There is nothing out there, no being whose existence doesn't affect yours. Feel the energy flowing along all of those threads. As you open up and acknowledge the sameness and how your life force energy is feeding another, and how they are feeding you in some way in the cycle. Now imagine that life force energy spiraling together all coming together into a huge sphere of prana, internal fire of the life force, that spark that exists in all living things. Even just gathering in from where you are, see that sphere grow like a balloon expanding. Know that you are within that sphere. And from that sphere of life force energy, where you are, begin to see or sense those threads that start to radiate out to bigger, wider areas. Let your imagination go. There are no limits on where on the earth you can reach. And find those threads that connect you to a sloth, a tree frog in the Amazon, to a nuthatch in the Bahamas, to a flying squirrel in the United States, to a butterfly on its way to Mexico. Extend out to a whale in the ocean, to a penguin on an iceberg, to a polar bear, the opposite pole. Extend out to a sea turtle. Swimming thousands of miles. Reach out. Feel that thread connecting you to a giraffe in Africa. A tiger in Indonesia. Feel the way the threads radiate out and connect with all the beings. See or sense that web expanding all the way around the earth. And notice how some threads connect to that spark of life that no longer is embodied. Those lives that have disappeared. Species that we never even knew before they were gone. And now feel how all of those little fires and big fires. Sending energy all through that web. And consciously send some of yours. Sharing. Re-energizing where the fires are diminished. And know that you lose nothing because your own internal fire is always being re-energized as well by all of this energy flowing through this whole web. When it feels frustrating, like you can do nothing, I invite you to reconnect into this web. Connects the essence of all living things on planet Earth. And give and receive. And be one with everything. And if you can do some small thing today, write to a representative, make a donation to one of the great organizations that are helping to support wildlife in these threatened areas, no matter how much, or simply leave a milkweed plant in your garden, please take some action. Let that fire fuel your passion. Start to feel your way back into your body, back into your physical presence. I'm going to leave you here, acknowledging that divine light, that essence in all beings that connects us and makes us one. Namaste.